All right, welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Bible study. Deuteronomy 25, Justice for All. You know, most of you should recognize these words, for they are the final words to our nation's Pledge of Allegiance. But you know what? It's sad to say they've almost completely lost their meaning. No one seems to care about justice or judgment anymore. No one seems to care about what's right. And today we've even got a president and an administration that is as crooked as they possibly get almost, with scandal after scandal coming out. But yet it seems that most Americans don't care. They don't seem to care. They don't seem to care. Again, they don't seem to care that righteous judgment goes forth, that justice prevails. That's completely opposite of what this nation was founded upon. Judgment and justice for all were important concepts in the minds of our founders. But today it would seem, well, who cares? As long as us liberals win and we get our agenda, we'll lie, we'll steal, we'll cheat, we'll deceive. We'll do whatever it takes to achieve our goals. It's really sad. It's really sad what's happening. You know, we had the Benghazi cover-up, where our president and his administration let our men die simply for political gain because the situation didn't look good for them. And there's more to that. Many of you are familiar with that. If you're not, do some research on it. We left our men out there to die for So Obama could get reelected. That's what it boils down to. And then we have the latest news coming out with the IRS targeting conservative groups, Tea Party groups, as well as individuals who have opposed Obama in one way or the other. I mean, this sounds like communist Russia or some other dictatorship, but this is supposed to be America? What has happened? Why don't our people see this? You know, and then just today, in my home state here in Minnesota, our governor officially signed into law the rights for gays to be married, making Minnesota sodomite-occupied territory, along with 12 or 13 other states. My friend Sodom and Gomorrah is here. And God's going to step in and do something about it. You know, if we keep running our nation, and other nations around the world are not keeping justice in their lands, God's going to see to it that justice prevails. He's going to bring his judgment down upon nations and individuals who violate justice, who violate his law. And we're going to talk about that here. Don't miss the coming chapters. Deuteronomy, I think, 26, 27, 28. For there are many prophecies of curses that are happening now today and will even increase in the coming days, months, and years, as we approach these last days. Get set for it. I mean, we're moving in so fast to this. And, you know, we're going to discuss many of these different laws that require justice and judgment and equity of balances and so forth. But before we get into these laws, let us open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just pray for wisdom and understanding in your word. We just pray for America and as well as the other Israelite Christian nations of the world, that people can begin to wake up and hold people accountable, and that your word go forth, proclaiming liberty and justice to be done, as you have throughout all of your word. That's what it's all about. And we know from the book of Revelation that that book is mainly about, your word in that book is mainly about bringing justice to this earth. And we just pray for that day, and we love you, we miss you, And again, we pray for our nation during these troublous times. In Yeshua, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, please turn with me if you would, or if you haven't already, to Deuteronomy 25, verse 1. And it reads, "If there be a controversy between men, and they come into judgment, that the judges may judge them, and they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked." That's what justice is. You protect the innocent. You protect those who have done right or the helpless and so forth, but you condemn the wicked, the lawless. And what do we have today? We have a wicked administration, as well as other wicked people in the Supreme Court ruling over our land. I could think of a proverb that comes through my mind right now that says, you know, when the wicked reign, the people mourn. And that's what's happening today in America, because people have gotten away from the Word of God. And they're too busy worrying about the cares of this life, but yet we're going to lose everything. They spend, you know, every single weekend up fishing or drinking or whatever, living it up. People aren't going to have time to do all those things here coming up pretty soon, because they're going to be taken away from us for our abuse of the blessings of Almighty God. See, we don't just deserve to have things, to have abundance of food and comforts of freedom. We don't just deserve those things. We get those by God's grace when we try our best to follow His law, to put His policies into action in our government, in our nations, and in our families. Condemn the wicked, but now it's the opposite. The righteous are condemned, while the wicked are praised. And people even vote for the wicked. "And it shall be, if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten." Oh my goodness. Oh, a spanking, if you would. We can't have that. No way. "That the judge shall cause him to lie down and to be beaten before his face according to his fault by a certain number." Oh my goodness, Pastor Ben, are you an Islamic extremist? They're the only ones that teach beating. Come on. Really? Have we grown to that state of immaturity in this land, where people worry about the... they have compassion upon the criminal, the evildoer, rather than the victims? So we should just put criminals into jail and give them air conditioning and 3 square meals a day and a comfortable bed to lay on, and give them cable TV and let them lift weights? Is that justice? To make the victims pay for that through their tax dollars, as well as the rest of us? Think about it. God's way, His law was rest. There weren't prison systems in God's law. You either paid restitution for certain crimes or for the capital offenses. Hey, you got the death penalty. We didn't have all this huge prison system of trying to rehabilitate criminals. No, the rehabilitation was that, yeah, if somebody stole something and they couldn't pay it back, well, they were gonna work it off. They'd be a slave or a servant until that debt was paid off. And in this case, a good little licking would square up a lot of people doing wicked things. A public beating. Public whipping. That's not a violation of God's law. And some would say, well, that's not, since the New Testament's here, we don't do that anymore. We just love people now. But you know what? Christ taught this principle. He taught this law of public beatings. Again, I know this sounds so foreign to so many people. They picture, you know, some wicked Islamic extremist torturing somebody, beating. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about a just punishment for crimes committed. But what kind of crimes are these? Well, these were non-capital offenses. And they weren't stealing, because stealing was paid with restitution. And we're going to talk about what some of these were. Christ is going to explain it to us. But first, let me read this here. Verse 3, 40 stripes he may give him and not exceed. There's another important principle there. This was limited authority by God. A government had no right for these lower crimes to give somebody more punishment than that. 40 was the maximum. They couldn't do other torture methods and things like that. No, this was simply, hey, like we spank our kids, right? Well, this is a big boy spanking. If you're a big boy, hey, you should know better. It's not going to be a bare butt spanking with the mommy or daddy's hand. It's going to take a little bit more. It's going to take a whip. If we followed God's law and we did these things, there'd be a lot less thugs walking around, because, hey, they were going to get what they have coming to them. That's compassion, because you don't want them to get to the point where they're going to commit a capital offense. Anyways, boy, the Sally, lukewarm, all messed up and generation we live in today. It's amazing what people think. Anyways, 40 stripes you may give him and not exceed, lest if you should exceed and beat him above these many stripes, then thy brother should seem vile unto thee. You don't treat him like an animal. You don't treat him. I mean, there's only so much. Again, there's only so much punishment you could dish out to somebody. You weren't to bring him to the point of torture. God's law says, hey, 40 is, that's the maximum. Anything below that is acceptable. It's not cruel. It's not unusual. It's a big boy spanking. Anyways, we got a lot to cover here, but we have to go here. Luke chapter 12, verse 42. And we're going to see what Christ says about this law of public beating. Hey, you know what? A lot of people that were going to go out and do certain crimes, they'd see somebody get a public beating like that. I know I would. I'd say, man, I'm not going to commit that. I don't want that. That's not going to feel good. Anyways, Luke chapter 12, verse 42, I believe we're going to start. And here it is. And the Lord said, who is that faithful and wise steward? This is somebody who, like a manager, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season. Okay, he was in control of things, and that's what happened. Verse 43, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. What Jesus is saying here is he wants servants that work hard, that study. Not lazy servants that just sit around and want everything handed to them. God can't use somebody like that. Of a truth, I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all that he hath. That's what that promises to you, my friends, if you're willing to work hard. Verse 45, but if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and the maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken. Now think about this for a second. This is why we came here. These things right here were laws, these were violations of laws that required, these were misdemeanors, if you would. These were non-capital offenses to get in these brawls and to beat up people and to be a drunkard and to do these things. These were misdemeanor crimes. Why is that important? Well, you'll see right here. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. You see that there? Jesus just confirmed the law of public beating in Deuteronomy chapter 25. He took or quoted from there basically to teach a principle in his parable. Fascinating. So he says, and shall be beaten with many stripes, verse 48, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes, okay? While as the one who knew better will get darn near close to 40. Think about that in your Christian service. We who know better, we're held to a higher standard. Just as God's law demands here, hey, there was a certain degree of punishment, and the judges would determine that. They'd say, well, how accountable was this person? What was the severity of the crime? And then they would determine the amount of lashes that person would get. Hey, it could be one or two. But if the person really knew better and they were really doing something wicked, then you could give them up to 40. Up to 40. Okay, but he that knew not and did not commit things, and he also did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. Here's the key here. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him will they ask the more. Think of those people in positions of leadership today. Presidents and Supreme Court justices and senators and representatives. We've entrusted them with a great deal of power. And those who abuse it are going to be punished a lot more than the average citizen what we call them today is low information voters, people who are stupid when it comes to political affairs. Why are they stupid? Because they haven't done any research. They don't pay attention. They're too worried about themselves and their daily lives that they don't care about their neighbor. They're just focused on themselves and some free handout that they can get. Well, anyways, I could go on, and if I do, we're not going to get through this chapter, so we better get back to this topic. So anyways, we went to Luke chapter 12 there to document that Christ never did away with these laws, including the law of public beating. It isn't something that that's you could be called an Islamic extremist for. Oh my gosh, back in the Stone Ages when they used to beat people. What, so it's better now? Back in the modern ages when our society's falling apart and justice does not prevail, that's better? Think about it. Think about how moronic that is, how stupid it is for people to think stuff like that. Anyways, moving on to the next law. Verse 4. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn. Now this is a very, Christ has a way of, he always teaches laws by bringing it down he'll minimize the case. In other words, hey, if an ox deserves to eat the corn while he's working hard, then certainly people do. And you know what? We find this in 1 Corinthians 9 as well as 1 Timothy chapter 1 verses 17 to 18. That, as well as Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12, that this law elevated all the way up to, in other words, this law applied to ministers, pastors, to the priests of the day. hey, they were to labor hard studying God's word, teaching it to the people, and doing whatever other necessary work was to be done. You know, an ox plows deep. And there you have the simile or the metaphor there. And when an ox is working, you know, in some cultures, I think even the Arabs do this, is they'll muzzle the ox so that when he's doing all the hard work, he can't eat while he's working. And that's sort of cruel. That's sort of cruel. Anyways, check out those scriptures in the New Testament. You'll find out that that's what really what this is about. It's the principle of a laborer is worthy of his hire, even all the way down to the dumb ox. Think about that. If an ox deserves wages, so do people if they labor, if they work. And this principle can be applied to employers. Hey, if you got employees, if you got an ox out there that works hard, let him enjoy himself. Pay him good. Him or her. Let's go on to verse 5. If brethren dwell together and one of them die and have no child, and this is kind of an interesting law, and a lot of you will think this is kind of humorous in certain ways. You'll see what I'm talking about. If brethren dwell together, if they live in the same locality, and one of them die and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger or to somebody else. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her and take her to him to wife and perform the duty of an husband's brother unto her. Now, this is so what it's saying here, hey, if you have some brothers that live, you know, in the same locality, one of the brothers dies, the other brother is supposed to take that brother's wife and marry her. I know that sounds a little crazy to some of us today, but there was a purpose for this. And within this purpose, you'll see that God values or puts a great deal of value on the family, on inheritance, and things like that. You know, let's read on. And it shall be that the firstborn which she beareth shall succeed in the name of his brother, which is dead, that his name be not put out of Israel. In other words, it'd be like your last name, the family name. If a brother went in and performed the duty of a husband to his brother's widow, then that son, the firstborn son that comes out of her, would carry forth the brother's name, the brother's family name. That way he would have his seed line would continue on and all the inheritance would stay intact and so forth, so that family line wouldn't be lost. Again, within this law itself protects, well, we call it today tribalism. Oh, we don't want to have, you know, strong families and tribalism and stuff like that. That's terrible. That's what we're taught today. We're taught that we should have democracy today. But think about that. America wasn't founded as a pure democracy. It was founded as a republic designed to have the family structure as the backbone of the nation. You know, I've said it before, somebody say, well, you know, it was just terrible before when women couldn't vote. Look at how we've progressed so far past that. And you would be considered evil by saying, well, women shouldn't have the right to vote. But you know what? Women always had the right to vote in America, as long as they were married and they had a family. Because her vote was pushed through the husband, who was the representative in a representative government, in a republic, for her and the rest of the family. So the families would decide, and the husband would cast the vote. That's the order. It's God's natural order. It's how the nation of Israel was commanded to run all throughout the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. You know, and I'm going to say this may upset some people, but if unmarried people, if women were not able to vote in the prior elections, the liberal candidates wouldn't have won. They wouldn't have won. Now, there are great conservative women who are politicians. We've got one that's my representative here for my county in Minnesota. And God bless them for that. We had Deborah back in the Old Testament. So it doesn't take away from that. But that was God's natural order. It wasn't to degrade women or anything like that. It was so that the family, so that it would be a representative government instead of all this nonsense that we have today with, a bunch of 18-year-olds who don't know anything and, want free handouts or they're just not intelligent enough because they came out of the education system to know what life's all about. And they're easily deceived by crooked politicians. Now, again, I'm not knocking on 18-year-olds. I was an 18-year-old once, too. And some 18-year-olds should be able to vote because they are intelligent. But what I'm saying is, well, we've talked about this before. Let's move on. And if the man, continuing on with this law, and if the man like not to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate unto the elders and say, my husband's brother refuses to raise up his brother's brother a name in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. Then the elders of the city shall call him and speak unto him. And if he stand to it and say, I like not to take her. Well, hey, in certain cases, maybe it would be better to take the shame than to marry your brother's wife. the easiest way out of this would be to just move away from your brother. If you're like, whoa, hey, if something happened to my brother, and I got to take that, I think I'm going to go move a little farther away. But anyways, let's continue on. Now, first I'm going to say something though. One thing this did was the whole family kind of, when somebody married a wife or somebody took a husband, it was important that the families all got along with the spouses. It was to keep the family intact so that there wasn't all these quabbling factions and things like that and strifes. So naturally, if a brother, the brother would have somewhat of a say or an input to his brother if he's going to get married or some kind of influence upon him, he kind of gave his approval if he was living nearby because he knew that could happen. Hey, there were wars, where lots of men died many times in Israel. So they would look to the future and say, hey, is this a good, solid woman? Is she fit? And so forth. Anyways, here we go. Then his brother's wife shall come unto him in the presence of the elders and loose his shoe from off his foot and spit in his face and shall answer and say, so shall it be done unto the man that will not build up his brother's house, and his name shall be called in Israel the house of him that hath his shoe loosed. Okay, obviously you probably didn't want to be known as the house of him that hath his shoe loosed. It was, to have that insult. This was done, I'm sure. God made this insult to, he put this insult in here as a punishment for a brother that would not take his brother's wife to kind of enforce it. So that you'd think twice, hey, I really don't want to be shamed in front of everybody. Maybe I ought to just do my duty. I ought to perform my duty, that's the way it was. And what was that to do again? That was to preserve his brother's seed. It was all about the family. Today, we're going totally against the family by passing gay marriage laws and things like that totally destroys the natural family structure that God went through took great attention, made many laws to try to preserve. And it's all trashed and thrown in the garbage when we support and allow gay marriage, homosexual marriage. Verse 11, when men strive together with one another, we're moving on to another law here. When men strive together one with another, and the wife of one draweth near for to deliver her husband out of the hand of him that smiteth him, and putteth forth her hand and taketh him by the secrets. You know what those are, the secrets. People call them privates today. The testicles. Then thou shalt cut off her hand, thine eye shall not pity her. Oh my goodness. This sounds like another Islamist law here. But you cannot even compare Islamic law to God's law. Just because, you know, Islam does, corporal punishment. Or something like this. Hey, this was a serious crime. For a woman to try to protect her husband in just a natural brawl. This isn't talking about somebody breaking into your house or something like that. This is just two guys out fighting on the street. And it's not lawful for the wife to come over there and help the husband by grabbing the guy by the testicles. Why is this so bad? Because remember, family was important to God. The seed line. And by her doing so could prevent him from ever having children. That was pretty serious, a pretty serious crime. And I must say that this, to my knowledge anyways, this was the only crime that required mutilation, a physical mutilation of someone's body. And it really was. It was to have her hand literally cut off. Sounds severe? Hey, well, it helps keep justice and peace in the land. And these laws teach many different principles, too. It teaches things about using common sense. And, there are many things. You can go into that, but we're going to move on. 13, thou shalt not, this is an important law we're moving into now. Thou shalt not have in thy bag divers weights, a great and a small. What are we talking about here? Weights were used in trading and in commerce. In other words, you'd have a weight that would say, something that weighed a pound. I'll just say a pound. And then somebody put, they'd weigh, whether it was grains or other things on there. And that a pound of silver would pay for that. Now, if that weight was unjust, that scale was out of balance, to cheat the consumer to pay more for less, then that was unjust weights. That was unjust weights. In other words, if their weight was supposed to equal a pound and it only equaled 0.82 pounds, that would mean the person was scamming the buyer. Unjust weights. Now, we'll get into this here. You'll see. I'm going to explain why this is done today, all across America and the rest of the world. Thou shalt not have in thy house diverse measures, a great and a small. Okay? You can't have that, but thou shalt have a perfect. In other words, you shouldn't have, different balances to try to cheat people with. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. In other words, you should be fair and just in all transactions. This doesn't only include monetary transactions. It includes matters of justice. And that's why you see, statues of, I think by our Supreme Courthouse, with Lady Justice there, with the balances in her hand. What would you think, if you looked at the Obama administration today, would you see in his house, in the White House, diverse measures? Yes, you would. Again, we just brought up something here lately that the IRS, under Obama's watch, targeted conservative patriot organizations. That's unjust. They were targeting them just because they were political oppositions. And we could apply this on and on. Anyways, for all that do such things, and all that do unrighteously, are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now, there's not all that many things that God considers an abomination, but this is one of them. It's something that he sees as very vile, very disgusting. And you know what? I see it as very disgusting too. When I look at who our president is and the actions that he's taken with the lies and deception and the unjust treatment of, you know, of peoples and groups and special treatment shown to other groups. That is an abomination to Almighty God. And you know what? I believe this is mentioned in prophecy. In Revelation chapter, 6? Let me just check there. I'm going to let you go there because I don't want to take up too much time here. But the rider on the black horse, who had a pair of balances in his hand, and he controlled those balances. They were a false set of balances. And I believe we're living in that time right now, the time of the third seal. And this diverse, you know, a lot of people say, well, how else can we apply this? Well, you know what? The Federal Reserve banking system is a complete violation of this law. Why is that? Because it runs on the principle of inflation. When you can adjust, let's just say, somebody has $100 in the bank. With the Federal Reserve System, they have the right to inflate, or they can print more money, which when they do, it causes the existing $100 in somebody's bank to go down. So in other words, their $100, because there's more money, the weight, the balances are tipping, their $100 are now only worth $80. And then they keep printing more money. And now that $100 is only worth $50. But they earned, by going to work, that $100. Therefore, the entire monetary system in America is founded upon unjust measures. $100 today should be worth the same as it was 100 years ago. Same as it was 200 years ago. And the same as it should be 100 years from now. If it's not, then it's an unjust measure. It's crooked. It's fraud. You can go check out our bookstore on our website. I think it's under the Contact Us tab. There's a few books under there that deal with the Federal Reserve System and explain the crookedness of it. God considers it an abomination. Now we're going to move on to the final closing up of this chapter here. God wants to remind Israel of something. He says, remember what Amalek did unto thee, by the way, when you were come forth out of Egypt. This was in, if you want to read this account, it was in Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. And God's going to summarize it here. How he met you by the way, and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. In other words, Amalek here took advantage of Israel. Took advantage of their weakness. See, they went, you know, the older people, the people that couldn't keep up as much, were in the back along with the little ones. And they took advantage of that. Instead of fighting like men, they went after the weakest and butchered them. And God didn't appreciate that. But the main sin they had here was that they didn't just do this because they didn't like the Israelites. They did it to despise Almighty God. For it says they feared not God. And these type of people exist today. This type of people that blaspheme God, we read about them in the book of Revelation. Even after God brings many plagues upon this earth, it says that there are still people that will blaspheme the name of God. They're no different than Amalek here. They're God haters, despisers of God. Therefore it shall be when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, and thou shalt not forget it. And you know what? God's going to do some blotting out. Blotting out of the book of life of those who despise him. You know what? God, you can learn from this is God will judge nations collectively because nations as a whole are responsible. Just as America as a whole is responsible for the leaders we put in office because we vote for them. We will be judged accordingly. And we're going to read about what some of those judgments are going to be, and many of them are happening and have happened to America today in Deuteronomy 28. You don't want to miss that chapter, even in the chapters preceding that, Deuteronomy 27, even 26. The rest of this book gets pretty exciting. Not to say that the beginning of it wasn't just as exciting. But you know what? Hey, hope you enjoyed that chapter. God's law is so perfect. God is just. He demands justice and judgment so that everybody can have liberty. So that justice would reign upon this land. But we refuse it. We reject his laws. And we pay for it. Well, do like Christ said in Matthew chapter 4 when tempted of the devil. He said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So see that you study it. See that you consume it. See that you let it digest in your mind and meditate upon it so that you could be a Christian overcomer. Christian Overcomers is brought to you by the tithes and offerings of our listeners. If you'd like to donate, you can do so by going to ChristianOvercomers.com. God bless you, and thank you for your support.